These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics will have to shoot one more time or take a shot clock violation. It was a building ready to explode at the start, and LeBron James defused it with a legendary performance. Terry Rozier takes the shot clock violation, which will be a fourth quarter turnover for him. 42 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists, highlight after highlight after highlight, and the clock will hit triple zeros. And in spite of it all, LeBron James and the Cavs are going back to Cleveland. Down 0-2. A stirring come-from-behind win in what may have been the Marcus Smart game of all Marcus Smart games. The final score, Boston 107, Cleveland 94. The Celtics lead the Eastern Conference Finals 2-0.
As promised, right to reaction here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's Felger Maz on your FM dial in Boston, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us 24/7 on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's a great thing for your phone. You can get just the live stream pops right up, but if you miss any hour, segment, show, anything like that, that's all posted on that app that night, so you never miss a thing. And who wants to miss a thing of Felger and Maz? How could you possibly miss a thing of Felger and Maz? So it's all there on that app. Back to your phones, unless any of you guys have an opening thought this hour.
Negative.
Yeah, I got one. All aboard the C's train.
You love that whistle.
Yeah, Murray. I bought it for a reason.
He bought an authentic, actual train whistle in New Hampshire. Made
of real wood.
When did you buy it, Murray?
On Mother's Day, Sunday, yeah.
No,
the thing blows me away. It's so cool. I can't believe it actually makes that noise.
I'm amazed that
a piece of wood.
I get such a kick out of your wonder and amazement that you got this chunk of wood.
That, you know, you can take your apps and kiss the inside of my ass with them. That thing, that impresses me.
Yeah, like an old-timey Foley artist that they had in Hollywood. Make it sound like a train. All aboard the C's train, everyone.
Yeah, to the calls. Here's Eric in the car. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? We all know that Cleveland, even if they got past the Celtics, they're not beating any of the teams that come out of the West. And I think yesterday, after that first quarter by LeBron, and they're only up four, he knows it too. He's going to shut it down because he knows it's better for his narrative to say that he's got a bad supporting cast, and that's why he has to leave, rather than face the embarrassment of taking that Cleveland team against either Houston or Golden State. I'll listen to your reaction on
that. Yeah, I felt that's coming, except last night he didn't do that. Last night he came to play big time. So LeBron doesn't deserve much criticism last night. Again, I think he's different defensively, but is that age or is he conserving energy for the offensive side? Whatever. I'm not telling that he's exactly the same player, but he showed up last night, okay? That's not about last night. But I will say this. Celtics-Warriors is such a more interesting final to me than LeBron again.
Agreed, totally. Maybe that might just be us, but anyway, go ahead.
No, and it's not, because I'm not even a true Celtics fan like you folks. So it's even different for me as a more of a neutral observer. There's an unknown with the Celtics team. Like, they're doing something that we just don't see in the NBA, which are upsets and surprising you. There's no surprises in the NBA playoffs. We know who's going to win. And with the Celtics team, they sort of keep defying that. And also, they're going to be competitive games against the Warriors. The Cavs would go out there, get their doors blown off two games, go back to Cleveland. LeBron would win one. He'd go off. But please don't make me watch J.R. Smith any more than I have to, or Jeff Green any more than I have to, or George. Don't make me watch those guys. I'd much rather watch Marcus Smart diving all over the place and Morris and Horford doing their thing. And even if they lose, it'll be a much more interesting product, I think, on a nightly basis.
Sure. Yeah. Look, I'm just saying it. We have a talk show vested interest in it as well.
But I'm telling you, as a neutral observer, you should feel that way.
I feel generally about this Cleveland team overall, like, pathetic.
To get that for the fourth year in a row, especially as awful as this Cavs team is.
I don't want to see it.
Because it's just, there's no uncertainty about the outcome, at least give me a fight.
At least give me a fight and give me some unknown, and the Celtics are just the unknown. They can't possibly be doing it, can they? Oh, they are. This is like So you come out of these games surprised, and I'm telling you, you almost never come out of NBA games surprised. So from that standpoint, the country should be rooting for the Celtics. It'll be a much more compelling series, or at least the games will be more compelling. Even if the Celts lose in five like the Cavs would lose in five, you know you're going to get some coaching, some effort, some competitiveness. And I can't say that about the Cavs.
So I wonder how Cleveland and LeBron approach these two games in Cleveland. Because, like, LeBron can't show up there and pack it in, can he?
You know the checkout factor in this league, though.
It's always a possibility.
But again, let's say they lose game three. Is he going to show up in game four and quit on his home floor?
Well, who's the little weirdo on this team like Matthew Dellavedova when it was Cavs-Warriors 3 years ago? At least there was like little thing, you know, there was little stories like that or a guy that might surprise you. All these guys suck, Maz. All suck.
And they have no guts.
I play that Osman guy, or Osman. How do you pronounce it?
C.D. Osman.
C.D. Osman.
The guy that looks like a vampire.
I don't care. He tries.
Right.
He tries. He tries more than that hack J.R. Smith or the pacifist Jeff Green.
Nicole in New Hampshire. Nicole, what do you got for us? Nicole.
Oh, sorry. I was in the middle of cooking dinner. No, first thing I want to say is, Jimmy, I love you. I've loved you since you've been on the Sandlot. So everything that you do as far as David Price makes me want to cry so hard that I pee myself. But the first thing I want to say is you guys had mentioned before that Tristan has Chloe as his wife. It's not his wife. TMZ or any of that entertainment stuff is like my guilty pleasure. It's his girlfriend. He cheated on her before she had the baby. So that's all I was calling about was okay. Just to correct you guys.
Thank you, Nicole. And we have a first official Jim Murray groupie.
Oh, Jimmy, I love you. Jimmy, why don't you come on
yourself? Nicole wants to board the Murray train.
Come on.
All aboard, right? Yeah.
No, that train's full. Thank you very much.
And when you visit Jimmy, bring that whistle.
Whatever Chloe is to Tristan, Marcus Morris mentioned it. That's all we were saying. That's all we were saying. Gene and Stoneham. Go ahead, Gene.
Hey. So Mike got his earlier in the year with the Bruins, and now I'm vying for the Celtics to do a too young promo for Tony now. Because you just admitted that Tatum and Brown are at the center of all the success that they're having right now.
Yes.
When earlier in the year, when they had their success, you said that they couldn't learn from that success and that they needed to be humbled. Remember?
Yeah, no, I said that early in the year they could use a good ass kicking. That's what I said.
So, Gene.
Well, here we are. Go ahead.
Yeah, did you? So, 3 months ago, you had the Celtics up 2-0 in the East Finals in a commanding position to go to the NBA Finals. You had that?
I didn't have that.
Thank you. I'm just going to cut you off there because nothing else needs to be said.
See, I was hoping no one would remember that I said Jaylen Brown would get to the playoffs and get pantsed.
Thank you for reminding us.
Yeah.
I mean, you did tell us over the course here they needed a good spanking here and there.
I did. Yeah, no, that they could use a good ass kicking. I think that's what I said a couple of times. And I remember saying unequivocally that when they got to the spring and they played Cleveland, Jaylen Brown was going to get pantsed.
How's that working out for you?
Not so good.
David, 43 wins.
Dave and Wellesley. Go ahead, Dave.
This isn't a major sports radio talking point, but I'm sitting on the couch last night and having a nice red wine with the missus, and Marcus Morris's energy and his bad boy attitude is making me all goofy on the couch. And I remember when they first came, he was coming off like a felony trial in Arizona with his brother, and he got, I think he was looking at some actual time, and he got not guilty. And I sort of almost, I love the idea of him flying out and sitting down with Brad, who's probably never sworn his life, and got bad boy Marcus Morris getting off on a not guilty. And it sort of reminds me of the KG and the Kendrick Perkins, and they've been missing that for some years. And I think it really, I don't know if it intimidates people, but it definitely adds a dynamic that I think is more consequential than maybe it appears to be.
No question. Like him and Marcus Smart are part of your success. I don't know how big, but it's definitely an element.
No, they're real tough guys. Yeah, and don't take the cheese on Stevens being this squeaky clean Indiana farm boy. Please.
He's not?
I mean, he projects that. But
what is he really?
Trust me, he drops an F-bomb with the best of them.
He does?
Sure.
How do you know?
Because he's a basketball coach.
How do you know?
What do you think he's saying? Oof, fellas, try harder.
So is Danny Ainge. Do you think he swears?
Ainge is a Mormon.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, that's a little different. This guy, from what I hear, he's not.
Oh, really? What do you hear, Anthony?
Well, I think there's actually a fairly colorful personality there. He just hides it when he talks to Beadle and Zoe.
Skip in Roxbury. Quickly, what do you got, Skip?
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Good. What do you got?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go. Yes.
Okay. I wanted to talk about LeBron always getting away with his drives to the basket with his left arm push-off and then the elbow and the chest. If I was allowed to do that in high school basketball, I'd be an all-star.
You could have been something, Skip.
Yeah, no question. He would have been drafted.
But you agree?
Oh, he totally does it. Yeah, he did it to Morris last night. He does. He puts your elbow in your chest, and he hooks you and pushes you out of the way. Except he's so big and strong, it doesn't look as blatant as when other guys do it. Like, you remember when a Rozier did it and smacked the guy in the face, and he got called for the offensive
foul? Yeah.
Okay, so that's
against Philly.
Right, so that's usually what it looks like when an average player does it. When LeBron does it, it's less noticeable because he's so freaking strong, he can knock you on his ass.
More of your reaction right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
LeBron, smart, gobbles him up, two in a shot clock, crazy follow. Oh. Three is good. LeBron has 19 points in 8 minutes and 33 seconds to start game two. Al Horford goes left side, Jaylen Brown all alone for three.
It can be a spectacular if you want to, because Brown is coming right back at him. He has 10 points.
Make it 13 for Jaylen Brown. LeBron spins out Rozier. Tatum comes, and instead of going for the ball or trying to stand in his way, he just charged towards LeBron and now picks up a foul. Jason Tatum's left shoulder hit LeBron's jaw.
Okay, now that might have been a good one. If LeBron comes back, is he woozy? I'm telling you, he might be, or we say he might be woozy. LeBron James is going back to the locker room.
Morris drives right side, past him, scores it on the foul. And Marcus Morris screaming into the face of Tristan Thompson.
And you know what? You always scream when your brother's standing right there behind you. Like, what you going to do now? My brother's right behind me.
Thompson punches the rebound in the air, but it ends up in the hands of Rozier. He's going to beat LeBron James down the floor and slam it hard with the right hand.
Go for that one, Mr. James. Get some of that. Scary Terry, elevated. You want to chase something down? Chase that Cheeto down.
Ah! Celtics can go up by 10. Smart lob. Horford catches and got fouled. Pushed in the back by J.R. Smith. Counts entry. Here's Horford. Spins on Kevin Love. Reverses it up and in. Scored on the foul.
Sandwich time, people. Oh, great move. Took the baseline. Laid it up. Soft as a baby's butt. On the backside.
Brad and his coaching staff always talk to us about being locked in the moment. So we're just trying to stay locked in and focus on each other and you know, decrease all the outside noise and distractions.
Okay, Jimmy Stewart's game mix there. Always worth your while. Feels like you'll be doing them for a while more, Jimmy. Not getting off easy. I'm doing this deep into May, sir.
Maybe good.
Into June, it feels like. So back to your phones here. Your reaction to Celtics up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Here's Bruce in Rhode Island. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, what's up, man? Yo, diehard Celtics fan. I got 2 points. Main one is, I saw, why is Kendrick Perkins in street clothes? Is he really injured? Because I don't think he is. He's been through injuries for the past 2 years, but he won a ring 10 years ago. And he can't, like, you can't, if he's not injured, why can't you put a jersey on him?
Okay, what's your second point?
And if you can keep Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart, and do you think, if you were Danny Ainge, would you keep all these players together?
They won't. Smart or Rozier, one of them is not going to accept being the third string point guard. I'll put it to you like that. Not in terms of salary or minutes.
My guess is it's going to be Rozier.
Is gone.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Maybe they can get more form. He's going to have a higher offensive average, more, you know, better offensive numbers, so maybe they can get more form. I think Marcus Smart's a better fit. I've said it from day one. I think that's been justified in this postseason, although Rozier's been great too.
Do you acknowledge that it's close?
Oh, my God, it's totally close, Mass.
Okay, all right.
Of course it's close. Of course it's close.
So to me, the thing that hurts Rozier is that, and I say his skill set, is most similar to Irving's. So, you know, he's going in the game when Kyrie's out. Well, Kyrie's going to play 38 minutes a night.
Right, exactly.
I mean, so Rozier's out.
Right. And you need, you know, you just need that intangible on your team. And I think Smart does it as well as anyone, you know, in the league. And he might be cheaper on top of it all because of that.
And he's knee insurance. You know, that's one of the things that they have to consider, too, looking at Kyrie Irving.
Well, if you want knee insurance,
it's Rozier.
Then it's Rozier, Murray.
Oh, that's what that's why I thought you were still on.
No,
Terry Rozier.
No, I go smart. But if it's just about you're worried about Kyrie's knee, then it is Rozier.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, that's an interesting dilemma when you put it that way. Like if you wanted to hedge your bets on Kyrie because you had concerns about the knee,
then it's Rozier.
Yeah, then Rozier. So look, I just don't know if there's any way they can keep them both.
First thing that he said, Perk, who I loved. That was one of my favorite Celtics. I loved Perk. Because I thought he brought that great intangible. He was, you know, Garnett.
He was just going back and forth with Drake in this last series.
Well, no, Garnett was the fake tough guy. Rawr! You know, that nonsense. Where Perk was the guy that really moved people and really stood up to people. And he was the real muscle on that team. I loved Perk, and I loved him in his role on that Celtics team. I saw him, you could see him on the bench last night, standing up sort of menacingly. And maybe it was during that J.R. Smith scrum or the Marcus Morris thing. When one of those two things, you could see Perk standing up there and like sort of taking a step towards the floor. And I'd like the caller, I said,
that's a bad dude.
That's when you want Perk out there. Is he hurt? I mean, just because he won 10 years ago, though, caller, no, doesn't mean that
I think he's 33 going on 50 is the issue.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea if he's healthy or in shape or any of that stuff, but there'd be less nonsense if Perk were on the floor, I can tell you that much.
He's the toughest guy on that team. Like, I don't think there's another guy who's tougher.
Mike and Woburn, what do you got for us, Mikey?
I love the fact that a man who is completely infatuated with a wooden train whistle thinks we can stop a volcano with a tarp.
No, a straw. Or a straw.
Listen, I love the fact that the Celtics are no BS in terms of they've won 17 championships, they have 17 banners. I, however, think if this series goes the same way, the way that we think it's going to go, they need to add two more. They're about to, for the second time, drive LeBron out of Cleveland like George Costanza in a fire. Like, he's about to run out of that town again, and it is absolutely glorious. I want a banner with young LeBron, a picture from the decision, with Kevin Garnett with a rubber glove up to his wrist, right standing right behind him, and then I want another banner with Kevin old LeBron with the receding hair and Danny and with all the draft picks behind him. Twice they're going to drive this softest Charmin fraud out of his hometown, and I will love to see the fallout when he finally announces the decision part two. Who's going to host it, by the way?
It's Jim Gray. It's definitely Jim Gray.
Hey, yeah. LeBron.
Again, I hate to burst your bubble, Michael. I keep you on, but then we just scream at each other. LeBron was gone from Cleveland either way both times. You didn't drive him out. He was gone. The stuff with the first time, he and D-Wade and Bosch cooked that up during USA Basketball stuff decade before.
Of course he did.
Or their draft year. Like, they had been scheming that for years and years and years and years. It did not take you to get him to Miami. Sorry. And this time, Holly, have we been talking about LeBron leaving in free agency?
Oh, yeah. No. This was... I told you way back when that. I don't put it past him leaving there a second time.
You said it was going to happen after a year or two.
Well, how many? Has it been three?
Four.
Okay, even so, just the fact that he's leaving at all.
It's different than going one and done.
Okay, but even so, I told you, you can't trust this guy.
Well,
yeah, and which brings me to this point. I'm glad the caller brought this up. You know who is laughing his ass off right now, and the series isn't over yet?
Kyrie.
Oh, my God. He is laughing so hard. He is naked on the floor, rolling around laughing at this whole thing. Like, not only did I leave, and you look like a jackass, I'm not even playing, and you can't beat us. Kyrie Irving must be laughing his ass off at this.
Okay, but... And I'll just say one more word of caution. If you think you've buried LeBron in this thing, you thought you buried him the last time. He went to a better team, and then they knocked you out. So does LeBron have a banner, Mikey, for dismantling the old big three? Because when he came in here in 2012 and dangled them on your forehead, I don't know. How much did you win after that?
He's going to stay in the East.
Okay, so when you buried LeBron the first time, he went somewhere else with a better team and then actually buried you. This is a little different. He's a little bit later in the ballgame, but if he goes to Philly, let's say Philly works it so they get LeBron and Kawhi Leonard.
How about him and Paul George?
Or him and Paul... I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Philly could add two, okay? One is a free agent, one in a trade. If Philly adds LeBron, Kawhi, and they keep Simmons and Embiid, who do you like in that series?
Philly.
Over the Celtics? You just keep doing you, Mass.
LeBron.
You do? LeBron?
And they're getting Kyrie back. Come on.
Like, so hold on. Kyrie, Hayward, Tatum, Brown, Horford, that group, this group here,
if it's
Kawhi, LeBron, Simmons, Embiid, and whatever schmuckle you want to put there at the five spot.
If it's LeBron and Paul George, I'll take Philly. If it's Philly needs a shooter, like a guy who's a matchup problem and can shoot over people, George is that guy. Which is why I actually think in a lot of ways he's a better fit for them than anybody.
Yeah, his team went deep in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, but again, that's not his fault.
You're stuck on what Paul George was like 5 years ago.
If there's a shooter, go get Melo.
Yeah, that'll solve the problem.
Paul George is going to the Lakers.
He probably is. I'm just telling
LeBron and Kawhi? There was a report this week about that.
I know. I just have I need to see how that one's going to work. Because Leonard still feels to me like more of a guy who wants to go to the basket. So how many guys are you going to have in Philly that need the ball to go to the basket? Kawhi, LeBron, Simmons. I mean, is anybody going to actually stand on the perimeter and shoot?
Yeah, the little Redick kid who could be a minus 32 every night.
And then we get Doc Rivers as the head coach.
Can't defend anybody.
So, and Redick's a free agent, right? He's up?
But anyway, all I'm saying is there's another shoe to drop with LeBron. If he stays in the East and puts together another team, you know, you're not out of the woods with him yet.
I'm not conceding that this series is over yet. I need to see what these games look like. If the Celtics get one in Cleveland, it's over. Okay, because...
Of course.
To me, the thing last night that was as striking as anything is, now I wonder whether Cleveland can actually win here. And if they can't, the Celtics don't need to win in Cleveland.
But yet it's not over.
No, I don't think it's over yet because I still think there's a chance that they get momentum in 3 and 4 and come back here and it's 2-2.
See, I give up easier. That's just all that it is. When I've been wrong or my take isn't going to hold up, I try and give up as early as possible now and just sort of get it over with.
You pull a J.R. Smith.
I do. I pull a J.R. Smith. I am Jeff Green. I am the Jeff Green of the show.
No, you quit.
And as soon as it looks like my take is running into any serious resistance, I'll just give up and turn the
end. And you make it sound like a positive.
No, I give up.
Like I am somehow negative for fighting the good fight.
I'm a quitter. It's true.
Yeah, you're a quitter.
And you stick with it. We're finding this out.
No, I get take defiant.
Speaking of quitters, this Carson Smith story gets better. Carson Smith, this bozo, one of your suck-ass relievers there in the eighth inning, throws out his shoulder yesterday for chucking his glove in the dugout. And you know who guess who he's blaming for the fact that he separated his shoulder, chucking his glove in the dugout after giving up another home run? Guess.
This is an all-time low.
We'll give it to you right after Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm not expecting them back in 10 days by any means at this point. We'll see how severe it ends up being, but... It's got the potential of being a major injury.
I'm disappointed, just like him. We talked about it last night, talk about it today. What can I say? You know, people get frustrated. He knows, you know, it's a freak accident, let's be honest. He's not the first guy that slams a glove or throws a bat or punches himself. But it is what it is. We have to move on.
You can ask Joe Kelly. I throw my glove every day playing catch with him. That's part of my warm-up routine is I go through my throwing motion. Throw my glove. Actually, usually hold on to it. Sometimes I accidentally release it. I think it's a freak accident. I mean, I think fatigue played a factor in my shoulder, and my shoulders couldn't handle it. I think my shoulder's tired in general. Yeah, it's just from pitching. I mean, and I've thrown a lot lately, and I think my arm was just tired.
So this is a Carson Smith story. That's Carson Smith right there. You heard from Dombrowski, Cora, and Carson Smith, and that last piece, where Carson Smith said yesterday he was just tired. He had pitched 5 times in 7 days, and he suggested, basically, that how he has been used contributed to the injury. And you heard it there. I think fatigue played a factor. My shoulder just couldn't handle it, he said. Like, my shoulder is tired in general just from pitching. I've thrown a lot lately, and I think my arm was just tired. So how did we follow up on that today? Alex Cora was asked about it, right, Murray?
That is correct. So this was over on our competitor earlier today, and he said, well, I don't agree with it in terms of it, you know, the fatigue playing a factor in injuring his arm. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. On a daily basis, we talk to pitchers and how they feel. If they don't think they can pitch that day, we stay away from them. It caught me by surprise. If he felt that way, he should have told it to us, or he should have mentioned it. There was a day in New York or Toronto, New York, I think. We talked, and he said he wasn't available that day, and so we stayed away from him.
So,
this guy's a baby.
So, again, Carson Smith implies And just reading it, maybe he was throwing someone under the bus. Maybe he wasn't. It's hard to know.
There was a follow-up to this.
But hold on. So, look, go ahead, then.
Well, then, so a reporter asked Carson Smith if he could
this is what I'm saying. So let me set that up by saying that when Carson Smith first said that, is he really throwing Cora under the bus or not? Like, it's hard to know. Saying, yeah, I've pitched a lot, so, my arm was fatigued. No, that's not necessarily blaming anyone. That's just saying, the way we were in the schedule and the needs, I pitched a lot. So you still don't know whether Carson Smith specifically meant
correct
to criticize Cora or not.
So Christopher Smith of Mass Live went directly to Carson Smith to get a clarification. Okay, Christopher Smith of Mass Live, and he tweeted, and this is a couple hours ago, I just asked Carson Smith if he could set the record straight as to what he meant in regards to being used a lot, and told him how Cora was asked today about whether he might be blaming Cora for overuse.
So basically, reporters went to Carson Smith and said, are you blaming Cora or not?
Right. It sounds like you're blaming Cora. And Carson Smith said, no comment. I've said what I need to say.
Oh, you baby.
And then he went on and said, I'm in the position I'm in. I've got to move forward, so I've got no comment. So to me, so here's the point.
Again, folks, he injured, he threw his shoulder out by chucking his glove in disgust in the dugout after giving up a home run.
And so here's the point. He had the opportunity to let his manager off the hook.
Exactly.
Right? Given a potential gray area there, a reporter went to him, gave him the chance to let his manager off the hook, and he said, I have no comment. I mean, he throws his manager under the bus.
No question. I said what I had to say.
Absolutely, completely threw Cora under the bus. As if somehow it's Cora's fault that Carson Smith is a jackass.
Says he threw his glove too hard after the game and threw his shoulder out. It might be done for the year. That's Cora's fault.
So Jimmy, Cora was even asked about it in the press conference, right, about Smith's comment and his, throwing Cora under the bus. And so here's the actual sound of Cora in the press conference.
I don't agree with it. On a daily basis, we talk to pitchers and how they feel. And if they don't feel they can pitch that day, we stay away from them. So it caught me by surprise. But, if he felt that way, he should have told it to us. We should have mentioned it. But actually, there was a day in, where was it, New York or Toronto? New York, I think, that we talked and he said he wasn't available that day, and we stayed with him.
So Cora's pissed.
Well, I mean, that was a cut.
There it is. I didn't know we had that in.
Jim Murray read.
Yeah. Cora's pissed because he says, well, what's this guy talking about? We go to him in New York, and we say, how you feeling? You know what I could use today? No problem. We'll stay away from him. And now all of a sudden he comes out after he gets hurt from throwing his glove, and he says his shoulder was tired, and we ran him into the ground.
What a loser.
This guy is. I agree. He's a loser. It's a good word.
And in regard to the fatigue thing, Jason Mastrodonato of the Boston Herald tweeted a short time ago, there's 159 pitchers who have thrown more innings out of relief than Carson Smith this year. what a loser.
All right, so there's that. There's been a couple baseball callers hanging on the line. We'll get to them right now in advance of the baseball reporters. And we'll take your Celtics calls as well until we hit the final word. William in Worcester. Go ahead, William.
Hey, guys. I just want to say, I'm so sick of these Red Sox players with these absolutely ridiculous reasons for injuries. I mean, it's just ridiculously annoying. And Maz, I just want to touch on your favorite base runner, Benintendi. Can you explain to me exactly what he was thinking or doing when he rounded that third base last night? And, I just feel like I'm watching my 6-year-old's T-ball team watching him run around the bases.
So William, the situation was they're down 2-0 already, I think, at that point, right? First and second, two outs, is a grounder to third, kind of a dribbler, or, a slow bouncer. The third baseman, Chapman, comes in and fields the ball, and Benintendi's running from second to third. And he thinks Chapman's going to field it and throw to first. So he just comes bombing around the bag.
Oh, God.
And Chapman doesn't even fake a throw to first.
So there would have been bases loaded there.
Right. Chapman doesn't even fake the throw to first. Sometimes you'll see a fielder fake the throw
right, and
then turn around to see if he caught the runner. He didn't even fake it. Benintendi came bombing around the corner, and he got busted. And they threw him out and run down the end of the inning.
How do you feel about Andrew Benintendi's base running?
It sucks. His base running blows. It blows. I said this yesterday. I said it earlier in the year. And I will continue to say it. Because for a guy that was a high draft pick, feels like he is a quote-unquote natural when it comes to the game. Boy, do his instincts on the bases blow. They blow. He has run into three outs, tops on the team, tied for tops on the team, and they are still number one in baseball in outs on the bases.
Tony and Stoneham, what do you got?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
You know something, guys? Usain Bolt could not have scored on that play, the stupid Benintendi. Anyway, you know, I'm glad I'm not a major league player. I'd be suspended. That dope that Cano got suspended for?
Yeah.
I take that.
Why? Because what? Are you masking the steroids, Tony?
No. I have a urinary problem, and that's what it's for. It's unbelievable. And then you get suspended for that?
Well, it's also used to mask steroids, you understand?
Tony, can I ask how old you are?
77.
Okay. Robinson Cano's what? 31, 32? And, like, and the other thing is, the mere presence of this does not lead to a suspension.
They then investigate it, Tony. So go ahead, yeah.
So they investigate it. They want to get some ideas to what the levels are, how long you've been using it, all of that. And they came to the conclusion that Robinson Cano was using it as a masking agent.
So it's not just, they don't just take the test and say, oh, you have this diuretic in your system, you're suspended 80 games. They, as Maz said, was it prescribed by a doctor? How long have you been seeing the doctor? How long have you been taking it? What are your other medical conditions, et cetera, et cetera? Who else knows what they do? They do an investigation. So maybe they dig through garbage like it's Balco. You know, what? Maybe they, you know, who else know? Maybe they check out his trainer. What's his trainer? What's his trainer into? Blah, blah, blah. They investigate the thing to see if it's being used as a masker or for legitimate reasons. And that's what they came to.
Cano's lying, and obviously.
He failed in the offseason. So this has been being adjudicated here for the last two or three months, 4 months, however long it's been since he failed the test. So there's been a back and forth, the investigation. I'm sure the lawyers then, I'm sure Cano had a chance to look at the evidence and refute it and back and forth. And so this is the final finding. What I find amazing about the Cano thing, 80 games, this is first offense, right?
Yes, correct.
80 games. Which means he forfeits his salary in that 80 games. You know how much that is? $12 million.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's making 25 a year.
80 games, $12 million, and he can't play in the playoffs.
Correct. Although I heard today, and that the DL time counts.
Okay, so either way, 80 games, $12 million, no playoffs. I heard that. I said, wow, they really want to catch guys. Like, that's actually a real, that is a stiff penalty.
Sure.
12 mil?
Yeah, it's a lot of dough.
12 mil. 12, I don't care if you make 25 a year, his contract's for 200 plus. $12 million is $12 million.
I think when Manny got popped, he was making 20.
80 games, $12 million, and can't play in the playoffs. Like, holy crap, I guess Major League Baseball is serious about this. And if you're a player, that is real risk. I mean, I still think they're doing stuff.
They definitely are.
But that now, that is a real risk-reward proposition for these guys.
For sure. And look, I mean, there's no question. And they go after stars, too, baseball does. There's not a lot of... Right, this guy's...
Cano's a huge star?
Tremendous. I mean, he's a big, big star. And then, see, a lot of people don't understand how the testing thing works. They get this thing down to a science, obviously. But they have a range of where, if he is taking a diuretic, what, you know, they have a range as to where that number is supposed to fall in terms of the percentage in his blood. If it's 10 times that, they know that he's using it for something else. So if the number's supposed to be between 2 and 4.
So that's the investigation.
Of course. So, and I think they even allow for the number's supposed to be between 2 and 4. And
yeah, they probably give you 8.
Right. They might give you 4.6. They give you a little latitude there. Again, it's like the speed limit law. But if they see the number up at 9, sorry, you're using this for a diuretic, bullcrap. You're using it to hide something else and you get popped. And the other thing is, they all know the rules. The union signed off on the program.
Much more on this coming up on the Baseball Reporters. So quickly, Tony in Kingston, your comment line says you want to trade Kyrie. Is that true?
Well,
Tony, hello. So
I get you there. Hello.
Listen, Tony, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you call us back tomorrow?
Sure.
Because I want to talk to you. You really want to trade Kyrie Irving?
If you got the right trade for it, yeah.
Okay, call me tomorrow. All right, call us tomorrow, 2 to 6. Because you know what, tomorrow? Tomorrow what we're going to do, we're going to go over all the bananas off the wall. You know, this great run that the Celtics are on, all these conclusions people are now reaching. Like, we should just focus on these.
Yeah, these are the same people who didn't want to trade Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley last year.
Now we're trading Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. No, let's keep Crowder
and
Bradley.
Now we're trading your best player.
Yeah, and trade Kyrie.
No, let's keep all the scrappy little overachievers, but trade your best player.
Yeah,
so what's the return?
Yeah, we don't need him. We got Rozier and Smart.
Jimmy says, what's the return? Like, you would...
Tell me what the return is for Kyrie.
You're entertaining this. You're talking about this, aren't you?
Maybe.
If you trade him for Steph Curry, I'm in.
Do you believe anything on this particular topic,
Oh,
Jimmy?
God, no. They're not trading Kyrie.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure. We'll pick this up tomorrow. Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Three pieces of sound in the final word today. We'll start with this. I brought in a prop today to celebrate the Celtics win. Once again, a neato wooden train whistle.
I love it. It's so good.
And, what we really learned, this wasn't the most fun part for me. What we learned is that you, Felger, you're more fascinated by a whistling block of wood more than your smartphone over there or the internet, social media, or really anything that's technological.
It's true.
Yeah, because you don't have to program it.
It's just blow into it. Back to your phones, unless any of you guys have an opening thought this hour.
Negative.
Yeah, I got one. All aboard the seas train.
You love that whistle.
Yeah,
Murray
I bought it for a reason.
He bought an authentic, actual train whistle in New Hampshire.
Made of real wood.
When did you buy it, Murray?
On Mother's Day, Sunday, yeah.
No, there you
the thing
go,
blows man. Me away. It's so cool. I can't believe it actually makes that noise.
I'm amazed that
it's just a piece of wood.
I get such a kick out of your wonder and amazement
that
you
got
this chunk of wood.
That, you know, you can take your apps and kiss the inside of my ass with them. That thing, that impresses me.
Yeah, like an old-timey Foley artist that they had in Hollywood. Make it sound like a train. All aboard the seas train, everyone. Now, my dad just texted me. He's listening to the show. He does every single day for
What's
all
up,
four.
Pop? What's your dad's name?
Richard.
Hey, Rich.
You met him before. Just once. He came in before.
Papa Weed.
He's at the store, and he's asking if you would like one, so he can get you one. If you want one, do you want one for the kids?
Absolutely.
All right. I want one too. Come in and ask me.
Well, he was the one that was like a child.
No, it's a
wood that whistles.
I want the train whistle.
Right. So do I want one too.
All right, I'll tell him to pick up a few. They're like $6
done.
Bucks each.
Thank all you, right, Richard.
Done. There we go.
Appreciate tell him we'll pay him for it.
You took issue today with Matt Light. Being inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Thoughts and prayer. I hope he's okay.
2018 inductee into the Patriots Hall of Fame, as voted by fans, is offensive tackle Matt Light. In his first year as a finalist, he beat out Mike Vrabel and Richard Seymour.
Well, hold on. Matt has agreed to go into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I'm surprised, because the last I heard from him, he was ashamed to be a Patriot.
Oh.
You don't remember?
Right,
when those guys took the knee,
yeah,
he said he was he was ashamed to be a Patriot, which is as I said at the time, it's a really heavy burden to be carrying, Matt. I you know, that's a hard, heavy thing to deal with. Shame, to be ashamed to be a member of this organization. So he must have gotten over that shame.
Apparently
somehow.
So, yeah.
Huh.
Don't really call the show.
Does he really deserve to be in there?
No.
I just hope he's okay, because I know he was carrying that great burden of being considered a New England Patriot, which I know is a really hard thing to do, Matt. So I hope, really, thoughts and prayers. I hope you're okay, and I hope you've been able to deal with that debilitating shame of being a Patriot during
this
era.
And Matt, call Felger on your own time, not on my time.
Oh, please, he's not listening. He's out probably shooting some beautiful animal.
I like his wife. She's a big fan of the show.
Of course. You know, I'm ranting about this. Murray's talking about that. Maz, his wife's kind of cute. So typical Maz.
Oh, she's a fan of the show. We met her 1 year.
No, but again, I know, Matt, it's so hard to be a Patriot in this era. It's been so debilitating. She's been such a drag on your life and your professional career. It's really, you being associated with the Patriots, it's been nothing but bad things, especially when those guys took a knee. It just ruined everything for you, didn't it?
It's required sacrifice.
I'm telling you, those guys took a knee, and it was hard for your kids to go to school, I bet. The way the looks that you got in the grocery store, after those guys took a knee,
shame.
Matt? I'm telling you, the shame.
Shame.
It is a hard, that's a burden, man, to be ashamed of who you are and where you come from. That's tough.
Finally today, Maz, you took issue with James Naismith in Braintree when he called in earlier today to crow about a certain lineup change in last night's game between the Celtics and the Cavaliers.
Dakota in Braintree, what do you got, Dakota?
So before I get to game three, Michael, I have a very important question to ask you. Would you take the team with the star player with LeBron James or Brad Stevens?
I'd still start with LeBron James.
Man, I don't know what it's going to take. You're not officially on the island yet.
So hold on. You take Stevens over LeBron.
Well, the big question was...
No, wait a minute. How come I answer the question directly, quickly, and now you're going to go into some soliloquy? Would you take Stevens over LeBron? You would.
Player in the Cleveland Cavaliers.
You're changing it. You're an expansion team, or whatever.
No.
You're changing it. I answered the question. I would take LeBron over the coach. Pretty much. I mean,
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. No matter what kind of team I am, no matter where I am in the country, expansion, whatever. I'm taking the all-time player over the coach. Are you? Okay.
And you never are you? Are you?
Exactly. I know where this call with Dakota is going to keep going.
This is okay. Your fault, is Mike, for engaging the callers.
I'm sorry, Dakota. Yeah. Quickly, you have 1 minute. Go.
Oh my God! Wait, every time you're back against me, before game two, and that's
okay. So Dakota, now I'm putting you on hold. Okay, because honestly, this is this. I knew the call was headed in this direction, and this is really, and I'm telling you the honest to God's truth here. This is really starting to bug the crap out of me. How after every game you call and tell us how smart you were,
I have no idea what you're talking about. What is he going to say?
Oh, I know exactly what he's going to say. Go ahead, Dakota.
The other day I called up, I said, Tristan Thompson, and somebody else is laughing at me. Yesterday, at halftime, I said it again, tweeted it.
And there you go.
And Jimmy hung up on him.
Yeah. He threw him in the trash compactor.
That 2X button, man. You listen to the podcasts on our... And it's not podcasts, they're just replays of our broadcast.
That is a 4X button that I have.
That's not a podcast, that is a replay of a broadcast that you get on our app. There's a 2X button where you can just rifle through all the annoying Dakota takes you want and get right back to Maz and I. That's a 4X button you got there, Stu?
Oh yeah, I can go up to like 52X.
I'll tell you, the 2X button works great on the app though. Tremendous.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.